While Ortheris babbled with his head on his arms, Mulvaney whispered to me. "He's always talked this way when he's been checked over much by the choiler that makes sergeants nowadays. Then and having nothing to do, and I can't make out anyways. Well, what does it matter? Let him talk himself through." Ortheris began singing a parody of the Ramrod Corps, full of cheerful allusions to battle, murder, and sudden death. He looked out across the river as he sang, and his face was quite strange to me. Mulvaney caught me by the elbow to ensnare attention. "Matter? It matters everything. To some sort of fit that's on him. I've seen it. 'Twill hold him all this night, and in the middle of it he'll get out of his cot and go raking in the rack for his accoutrements. Then he'll come over to me and say, 'I'm going to Bombay. Answer for me in the morning.' Then me and him will fight, as we've done before. Him to go and me to hold him. And so we'll both come on the books for the starboard in barracks. I've belted him and I've broke his head and I've talked to him, but it's no manner of use when the fit's on him. He's as good a boy as ever stepped when his mind's clear. I know what's coming, though, this night in the barracks. Lord send he doesn't loose on me when I rise to knock him down. 'Tis that that's in me mind day and night.' This put the case in a much less pleasant light and fully accounted for Mulvaney's anxiety. He seemed to be trying to coax Ortheris out of the fit, for he shouted down the bank where the boy was lying. "Listen now, you with the poor pink toes and the glass eyes, did you swim the Irrawaddy at night behind me as a boy should?